verse. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. Let's read that together. Start in the beginning again. Read it with me. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's a powerful, powerful verse, isn't it? And I think sometimes we make the mistake to think Jesus is only talking about money. But in this case, he's talking much more about money. In fact, this verse applies to every area of our lives. And throughout this message, we're going to look at a larger context. We're going to talk about generosity. We're going to talk about money. I want you to capture the full meaning of this truth. Now, let me take just a moment. In the days of the Bible, they harvested by hand. You know, I was raised on a farm. We had combines, and I'm amazed at the equipment that's designed today to harvest. And let's say wheat. And according to the law of the Israelites, the farmers that owned the land, they hired harvesters, usually by the day or the job or the hour. They could hire them and they paid them, but they had to leave the corners and the edges. They had to leave grain in it. And they had to leave that grain so that the less fortunate or the poor from all over the countryside could come and harvest for themselves. So you actually had two types of harvesters in the field in those days most of the time. You had those working for pay. They were harvesting in baskets. And the guy that was working for a living, or a gal, whoever it was, they'd harvest the wheat, they'd put it in the basket, and they could take it over to the wagon or put it in a pile. But those that come that were poor and had needs, and they may come for several miles. They may have walked a day to get there, or a half a day, or 2 days, and they could only make one trip. So when they harvested, they would take the grain full, and they would put it in a basket, and then they would push it down, and then they would put it in a basket, and then they'd shake the basket, and they'd press it down. How many of y'all been to YC's? Yeah, that's what we do at YC's, right? If you hadn't been there, you need to go. It's good stuff. They cook it right in front of you. But if you just fill your plate and don't press it down, you don't get very much to eat. So when I get in there, I mean, let's put some more. Good measure, shaken, pressed down. And so that's the picture here. And Jesus knew when he was talking, and we're going to read the words of Jesus today, when he was talking to his followers, he knew that they would understand what he was saying and what he was teaching. And what he said to them is, the more you give, the more you will receive in return. What he's teaching them, and he wants us to be givers, is that if we're givers, we always receive back more than we give. Stay with me. I'll be balanced on it. It's a principle of life. You could take an apple seed and you'd have an apple seed. But if you sow an apple seed, you have an apple tree. And if you have an apple tree, you have lots of. So when you're generous and you are a sower, and I realize over the years some people have lost their balance on this, but I'm not going to. You can't outgive God. I'm telling you, you cannot outgive God. And giving and generosity, or the lack thereof, is not, and I could teach it for weeks, but it's always a matter of the heart. So do you have a generous heart this morning, or do you not have a generous heart? You say, well, I don't have enough means or finance and to be generous. The widow gave everything she had, two mites. Generosity, irregardless of how much provision or material goods or wealth you may have, is always a matter of the heart, which I've always felt God's always fair, and that makes the tithe fair. But see, it's not just the motivation to give what Jesus was teaching here. The deeper principle is just what I said. We do receive a reward when we give, but the motive, everybody say motive, should not be to receive. The motive should not be to, let's call it just old country Dale, get. It shouldn't be to give so that I can get. Luke 6, 36 and 37, I'm just expanding this context, or this text, says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will be not judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. So this, as I expand on this, it's a very sobering scripture. And I think we've lost our signals, so you'll just have to listen to me read and pull up your own verses. Is if you dole out a good measure of condemnation in your relationships to those folks around you, you're going to get a good measure of condemnation in return sooner or later. It's the old saying that whatever goes around, what you reap is what you sow is what you. And so this scripture is not just talking about money and finance. There comes some more offering. Look at there. It is about that, but it's worth, look, you can be critical, and if you're critical of others, you're going to receive a lot of criticism. If you're always the judge, you're going to be judged. If you're hard on people, people are going to be hard on you. Whoa, 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 good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And that can be a vicious cycle in a negative way, if you know what I mean. And those folks that get caught in that vicious cycle, nobody ever speaks well of me. Nobody ever, poor me, poor me, poor me. But it usually started with the seed they sowed first. Good measure pressed down, shaken together. But then on the upside, and say, get the upside, Pastor. It's the good stuff, too. If you forgive others, I tell you what, God will give you favor and others will forgive you. If you love others, so an old preacher told me one time, and boy, this is Sunday school stuff, but it's the deepest thing I may say today. If you love people, people will love you. You give out love, you'll receive love. You give out service, people will serve you. Good measure, pressed down. How many needs forgiveness? How many here needs forgiveness from somebody? Come on, be or have. Then give it out, and you'll get it in return. Material gain is not the motive of these verses. Come on, Lord, I gave. You hear it. You can hear it in churches this morning. You can hear it in on the radio or television or podcast. Give, sow that seed, and you'll get all this back. Give, and you'll get this back. Give, and God will reward you. Give, and you'll be a millionaire. And God likes millionaires. Please don't misunderstand me. He loves millionaires just as much as He loves a pauper on the street. Thank God for millionaires in the kingdom. You know how they got there, though? Usually they're givers. They're generous. But what I'm saying is it's not a manipulative thing. Never give to get. That's the wrong motive. If you're giving this morning just to receive, just to get something from God, you've got the wrong heart. You say, well then, Pastor, why do we give? See, the Lord doesn't want the church to catch the vision of getting. He wants them to catch the vision of giving. We're going to give to missions. You gave above your tithe this morning. You gave to missions. You're going to give at the end of the month. I think God's putting something on my heart, but I'm not going to say it till I talk to my wife. But I will say this. I feel like the Lord is stirring us to give more to missions. Tithing's a given. I had a pastor tell me in Missouri, tithing's the easiest thing to obediently do in the Bible. You know, write a check. Give it to God. It's His anyway. Luke 6:30 says this. A few verses. Give to everyone who asks you. If anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Sunday school verse. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good just to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. Give to everyone who asks you. Do to others as you would have others do to you. Material gain, whatever you get in return from your generosity, is a byproduct of the blessing of God, but should never be the motive of your heart. Verse 30 begins with give. Jesus preached a sermon here on give. Give to those who ask you. Give when there's a love offering. Give when there's a missions offering. Give, give, give. Give to people that don't have much. Give to people that do have a lot. Give to the unlovable. Give to the untouchable. Give to the less fortunate. Give money, give time, give talent, give treasure, give mercy, give love, give hope to the hopeless. Give, 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 give. God is a giver. We should be a giver. Christ is a giver. If we want to be like Christ, then we got to be givers. We don't have to be givers. We are givers. We should be givers. It should be the fruit of abiding in the vine of Jesus Christ. It's to give, give, give. God so loved the world, What did he give? His only son to die at Calvary and pay a price for my sin and your sin and my life and even the cars we drive and even the house roofs over our head. Everything God has given to us, everything comes from the Father of heavenly lights. Everything has been given, even His one and only Son who paid by death for my sins. And as we become like Jesus, we will give. The motive's just to give. Even for a missions offering, you shouldn't be thinking if you're going to give to missions or not. You should be asking the Lord how much you're going to give to missions. I've been in a lot of how much rooms the last few weeks. Got up early, stayed up late, kept my work done here, missed one Sunday in three, went 6,500 miles in 35 meetings, spoke in 14 of those meetings in 21 days, and raised $270,000 for missions for people who said, "How much can I give?" I wasn't in rooms that said, "I don't know if I will or won't. I can't afford it. I'm not." How much? Speak to me, Holy Spirit. Speak to my heart. How much do I sow into the mission field this time? Give, give, give. God's a giver. See, a properly focused heart is always more excited about giving than receiving. Because when you give, good measure, pressed down. Let's look at an Old Testament example. That's the introduction. We're getting to the message. Deuteronomy 15, verse 7. If anyone is poor among you, your fellow Israelites, in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God has given you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather be open-handed and freely lend to them whatever they need. Sounds almost like Jesus all the way back in Deuteronomy, doesn't it? beauty of the Scripture. Scripture always confirms Scripture. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. Here's the wicked thought. The seventh year, the year of canceling debts, because they had to set the slaves free at the end of seven, is near, so that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously. Everybody say generously. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and everything you put your hand to do. I tell you, I'm going to say this, I'm going to keep reading, but when you're generous, God blesses everything you put your hands on. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. If any of your people, Hebrew men or women, sell themselves to you and serve you 6 years, in the seventh year you must let them go free. And we're going to read just another verse or two. And when you release them, do not send them away empty-handed. Supply them liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your wine press. Give to them as the Lord has given and blessed you. Remember. Everybody say remember. This is all in the context of giving. Keep that thought. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. This is why I give you this command today. And here's a clear picture of how God's people should live generously and some of the challenges that go with it. We need God to touch our hearts this morning. Maybe some of us need a heart transplant. Let's look at some of the challenges real quick, and we'll end on a high note. What keeps people from being tithers and givers and generous? What holds us back? And there's a long list probably, but in the context of this scripture, it says a selfish heart. A selfish heart. Tight-fisted. God even calls it a wicked thought. Again, instead of coming up with three reasons why not to give, you need to come up with three reasons about how much to give always. People that hold on to their time, their talent, their finances, their love, their joy. Look at me. Everybody look at me. If you don't give it to God, God can't give it to you. But when you sow that seed and you release your tithes, you release your offerings, you release your missions gift, whatever it is, when you release it, and you give it to God, you always, that's your motive. That's your motive. Just to give for God. Just to give for His kingdom. Just to give for His church. Just to give for His local church. Just to give so that others might know Him. Just to give. But when you give, when you let go, and some of you are holding on, and it's in your heart. It's not in your head. It's in your heart. You're justifying your lack of obedience with your head. But it's not in your head. It's in your heart. And God wants to touch your heart today. But when you let it go, you can receive it back. Can I get an amen? Grace, could I have received that $100 bill like that? It just fallen to the floor. And some things in some people's life are just falling to the ground. Lord, I tried. Lord, I go to church. Lord, I do this. My this. My that. And it just always seems I take two steps forward and one step back. Or one step forward and three steps back. Could it be that God wants to make your heart more generous? He even called it a wicked thought to be tight-fisted. Don't be selfish. Be generous givers. Oh, I could think of, you know, at the risk of offending mothers, but how many mothers I have in here? Oh, Lord, here it comes. Maybe I better pick on the guys. Our little ones are born selfish. I mean, that's just the old Adam nature anyway, right? Right? Adam is all about me, 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 me. And that's the way they start out. They dirty their diaper. Wah! They get hungry. Wah! And here comes mom or daddy. You know, and we need to change their diaper and we need to feed them. Can I get an amen on that? Of course we do. Yeah. But I tell you what, if you don't let them grow up about 1 or about 2 years old, they just keep wah, 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 and they got you on a string, and you think you're taking good care of your little baby boy or your little baby girl, and they know exactly what they're doing, and you're just feeding that selfish nature the whole time, thinking you're this great parent. I can remember, Darla, can I tell on us? No, she said no. I don't blame her. About 1 year old, Trey was just working us over. I mean, he could just barely talk. I mean, just working us over. I said, honey, he knows everything. He doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, he could just barely. Yeah, I said, he's working you over. I said, you give him everything he wants. She said, no, no, no. I said, yes, yes, yes. Watch this. I said, Trey, can you go into our closet in our bedroom and bring me a pair of shoes? And he brought a pair of shoes back out. And Darla went, They're selfish little rascals. Well, they're not little rascals. I think men tend to be selfish when it comes to food. Come on, guys. You got a plate full of ribs and somebody wants to take a rib. I mean, they're going to get stabbed, son. And I got an amen. Selfish. Those are my ribs. Oh, here, would you like a bite of my salad? But then if you're married, that carries over in our marriage. You pull up to the burger barn, and you know what you want, guys. Hey, give me a double cheeseburger, order fries, milkshake with an extra side of grease with those fries. Hallelujah. Honey, what do you want? I'm not very hungry. I'll just eat some of yours. Now, if you've been married as long as I have, you don't say much, but in your mind, you're going, that's my food. And so you throttle down on the inside and you go, honey, I'd be happy to get you a burger and fries too. She said, no, I'll just have some of yours. And dear Lord Jesus, you know she's going to eat half your fries. Amen. I heard a lady say that. We're selfish by nature. Don't mess with my fries. Justin knows this. He's a good future son-in-law. Every time we go out to eat, he leaves a few of his fries for me. That's really why I said Kylie could marry him. Be generous. See, the default condition of our heart is to hoard and to be selfish. And Jesus wants to deal with a selfish heart. Why? Because he wants us to make us like him. And he's generous. And then we read here, it said, when you give, make sure you don't give with a grudging heart. Some other translations say grieving heart. And then it goes on to say, if you give generously without a grieving or grudging heart, then I will bless you in everything you put your hand to. See, the reward of the giver isn't just what they give, because their motive is to give anyway, but everything in their life is blessed. The reward of giving finances or time or talent or love or joy is a blessed life. That's what you get in return. I got to stay focused this morning. I think so much of every part of our walk with Christ, In the center of it all, after being saved by grace, is learning how to steward. Because it will positively or negatively impact every facet of our life. whether you know it or not. Because God says, I'll bless everything. You ever notice generous people? They're just blessed everywhere. They're always happy. They're joyous. They've got friends. They're not without trials. We all have trials. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. And then he went on to say, take heart, he'd overcome the world. So it's important, that when you give, you don't grieve over it. Well, I should have never done that. I let that preacher work me over. It'll never happen here. I'm always going to teach you how to have a blessed life. Never work you over for money or anything else. Because that's detestable. And we see it all the time. I want you to have a blessed life. And I know this is one of the keys scripturally to being blessed in everything you do. Everything. See, selfishness can attack you before you give. Grief can attack you after you give. Why did I do that? Anybody? We call it buyer's remorse. Anybody ever buy something, you got all excited, and you bought it, and 3 days later, you go, what did I do? I didn't need that thing that bad. I don't even use it. It sits in the closet 362 days a year. But I'll be paying on it the rest of my life. Anybody ever had buyer's remorse except for me? Oh, it's a terrible, terrible feeling. I've been truck shopping for almost a year and a half, but a solid half year, found a truck that I thought was the right price, the right truck for us, and we went to the lot here just a few weeks ago, and because I know what it is, especially to buy a big ticket and regret it later, because you buy it, but you have to truly do pay for it a long time, right? Sometimes. And we get there, and it's perfect, and the price is perfect, because I probably looked at 200 trucks, apple for apple, everything's right, and the salesman walks off, Darla goes, honey, it's exactly what you've been looking for, and it's a better price than you've seen anywhere. She said, isn't it exactly what you want? I said, it is absolutely exactly what I want. She said, well, when he comes back, buy it. Well, when I go to a car lot, I'm not the one getting beat up. I beat them up. Not really. Well, maybe really. But I do it in a nice way. We had the perfect price, perfect truck, the money, everything. But because I've made so many mistakes, I practiced the 24-hour rule. So I went home, prayed about it, got up the next day, yes. And now, come on, men, I'm driving my truck down the road. No remorse. Sometimes we become remorseful when we give. You know, a while ago I started our service. This will help you understand. Maybe it'll. The part of the idea this morning, the Lord wants to set you free from a selfish heart and a grieving heart as it pertains to generosity. Just like he wants to set us free and make us whole in every area of our life. I was with a guy this week, a pastor in some of our national meetings. He said he became overly generous with his tithe, above his tithe and offerings and missionaries, because he had a selfish, greedy heart. And when he became generous, it was a way for him to be free from that bondage. He testified to the whole room. And we weren't even talking about giving. Grace, when I asked you for that $100, and you truly have been, you are such a generous person, she popped right up, didn't she? And she gave it so quick, she couldn't get it out of her pocketbook quick enough and couldn't hand it to me quick enough. Can I tell you why? Because I gave her the $100 earlier. Now some of you are thinking about the chili scandal. She goes to Florida, makes my chili for me, and didn't even win. I think you planned that, because I've never won. I gave her the $100. It belongs to me. That's why it was easy for her to give it back. That's how easy generosity is. Everything belongs to Jesus. Everything, every blessing in my life and your life has come from Jesus. Every nickel, every dime, every dollar, every car, every house, every piece of joy, any bit of favor, every open door, every opportunity, every friendship, every relationship in my life, the list is long. Every opportunity, everything has come from the hand of Jesus Christ. So when He asked me for something in return, I have a heart of generosity, and it's easy to be generous when you realize it's not yours. It's His. And all He does is ask for a little in return so that the kingdom can be expanded, so that others can know Jesus, so that the local church can grow, so that your family will be blessed, so that your children will be blessed, so that you'll have love and joy in new measures, so that you'll have kindness and gentleness in new measure. All He's asking is that you return to Him what already belongs to Him, and not that you have to, not be selfish and hold on to it, and not that you'll grieve. You can't wait to give to Jesus. I look forward to the offering every Sunday. Every Sunday. Because He wants us to have generous hearts. He said, supply them liberally from your flock. Romans, it's a heart change. It's a mind change that some of us need this morning. And for us that are moving, growing in generosity, because let me tell you, I've had people say, Pastor, you're the most generous person I've ever met. No, I'm not. I can still grow in that area. Some of you, and I won't call names out in here this morning, you are so dadgone generous, and every time you give, I tell you, it touches my heart. Hey, time out. It's time to close. Wants us to be generous. Supply liberally. The scripture says do not conform to the pattern of this world. The pattern of this world is this. It's me, me, me. What I can hold on to. Be me, 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 me. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I was born selfish. We were all born selfish. We were all born with the Adamic nature. But I tell you what. We are born again generous. Hallelujah. Why? He said, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I give you this command today. It's a heart of gratitude to Jesus Christ for what He's done for me. Thank you, Jesus, for my family. Thank you, Jesus, for my church. Thank you, Jesus, for my truck. Thank you, Jesus, for food on the table. Thank you, Jesus, for people that treat me kind. Thank you, Jesus, for friends in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for joy. Thank you for the life you've given me. Thank you for the salvation of my soul. Thank you for filling me with your spirit. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your patience. Oh, Lord, your patience. Oh, Lord, you're patient. You're patient with me. Thank you, Jesus. I can't give Jesus enough. Because He gave me everything. And He gave you everything. I remember what it was like to be a slave. I remember what it was like to be lost. I remember what it was like to be an alcoholic. I remember what it was like to have a broken marriage. I remember how dark sin was in my life. I remember the control Satan had over me. But Jesus, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and I owe Him everything. Remember when you were slaves? To be slaves anymore. With Jesus in our life. Story of a young man in Bible school. Costa Rica. He was a poor kid, and somehow somebody had made a way for him to go to this particular school. He worked on a peanut farm to pay his way. In this kid's case, it started in elementary school. He would later graduate high school there. This Christian school each week had a day called Bless Another Day. In other words, Bless Somebody Else Day. This kid was poor. He could just barely get to school. You know what he did? He worked on the peanut farm for the peanut farmer. He asked the farmer if he could have a peanut. And this really is a true story. Asked if he could have a peanut to take to bless somebody for another day. Now, first of all, let me tell you. He could have just taken the peanut. And the farmer would never know. But you know, the Lord has a way of blessing people with integrity. Farmer said, sure, I'll give you a peanut. So he went and that was his blessing for somebody. And they had the whole gig they have there at school. And not surprising, God began to bless him. Farmer began to give him 5 peanuts, then 10 peanuts. And then the farmer began to bless him in such a way because of his unselfish and liberal heart. In a year's time, he was able to sell enough extra peanuts to help another student go to school that couldn't go to school. And he gave all he had. As the years would unpack, before he graduated high school, he was able to scholarship himself through peanuts, 10 students a year. Pay their tuition. You know the rest of the story. Before it was all over, he graduated high school, and some years down line, guess what happened? He ended up buying the peanut farm and owning the peanut farm. He had plenty for himself, and he had a scholarship fund that funded dozens of students that weren't able to pay tuition for themselves. He started with a peanut. And now he owns a farm. And it all started because God had done a work in his heart. So that when all he could give was a peanut, And because the issue is not the amount, church. The issue is always the motive behind giving. Does God bless givers? Absolutely. But those promises are given to us not to entice us to give, listen, but to free us from selfishness and grief and pain. For some of you, that's called fear. Yes, when you give, it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. God pours out His blessings on the givers. But for all of us, somewhere along the way, most of us, it took a heart transplant. But when we come to simply a place of unselfish, open-handed, liberal generosity, and I give you my word on this, you will truly have a blessed life. Lord, we thank You for Your word this morning. You are good, and everything that You do is good.